same space. All right, Luke.
I'll get plugged in. Let's see if I can get you plugged in. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Left off there, verse 24, I believe, this morning, talking about joy. The Lord's desire for you and I to have joy. That's what God wants. He wants you to have joy. He's doing everything in His power to get you to have joy. And you know who's in your way? You. You're in God's way of you having joy. Ain't that something? But that's what it is. And man, we'll just do it God's way and just obey Him and obey His word. We'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right, picking it up now in verse 25. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. And you already know you're going to have trouble here. Amen. And tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now we have to remember, in this passage of Scripture, when we're reading this thing, remember, this fellow, this lawyer, as he's standing up, he's talking to Jesus, where are they at? They're still under the law. The New Testament hasn't started yet. We just partook of the Lord's Supper, right? This is the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for you. The New Testament begins after the blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. Jesus' blood hasn't been shed yet. They are still under the law. And so when this lawyer stands up to ask Jesus Christ this question, Jesus Christ is answering him based on the current circumstances. We know now if someone was to ask Jesus that, what he would tell him to do. Hey, believe on me. I died for your sins. I rose again. I'm able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by me, seeing I ever live to make intercession for you. Trust me. Call upon me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We understand now if someone would ask Jesus that, that's what they would say. But not there, because his blood hadn't been shed yet. He couldn't tell that fellow to trust his blood. Hadn't been shed. And so he asked him, but notice what it says when he asked him here in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying. Now, would you agree with me? When the lawyer's asking him this question, he's not asking him because he wants to know. Do you ever have somebody ask you a kind of a rhetorical question, just ask you a question just to get under your skin or just to make you look like a fool or something? In other words, he's not asking this question because he's really seeking the truth. He's asking this question because he's hoping he can make Jesus look like he doesn't know what he's talking about. After all, this fellow is a lawyer. He knows the law. He knows the law inside and out. And so he, tempting Jesus, said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? All right, Jesus, you're the bigwig. Tell me, what should I do? And notice how the Lord just quickly turns this thing around. Verse 26, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? In other words, well, you're the lawyer, figure it out. Right? He's putting it right back on this lawyer and saying, well, you're the lawyer. What do you think? Let me get your opinion on this matter, since obviously you're so intelligent. And the lawyer answers him, and answers him rightly, according to Jesus Christ. What does he say? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Hey, all you have to do is obey the law. All you have to do is keep the commandments, and you will have eternal life. This fella knew the law. This fella knew the Bible. Now, when Jesus Christ says that to him, what do you think's going on in his mind? What? See how the Lord flipped that thing around on him and said, well, you're right. Just do that. And then what does he do? He says, who is my neighbor? Why? Trying to justify himself? You already know this fellow knows he has a problem. Why else would he have to try to justify himself? When you have to try to justify yourself, you already know there's a problem. Do you know what the purpose of religion is? It's for people to try to justify themselves. Well, I go to church. Well, I try to keep the commandments. Well, I try to be a good neighbor. You know what they're doing? They're trying to justify themselves. That's what religion's for. Religion is for lost people and giving them a way to justify themselves. That's what this fellow's trying to do. You know what evolution and atheism is for? It's a means by which man can justify himself. Well, there's no God, there's no law, I'm not breaking any law, I'm pretty good. I'm just as good as the guy down the street, I'm just as, maybe if not, I'm as good as the other guy in jail, whatever the case, you can always find somebody worse than you to justify yourself. And that's man's fall, that's his nature. This whole thing started with Adam and Eve. Soon as they sinned, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves. They made themselves aprons. You say, why? Because they were ashamed. They knew there was something they had to cover up. They knew there was something they had to justify. The fact that they had to sew fig leaves together already demonstrated that there was a problem. The fact that people need to justify themselves through religion or by denying God or some other method proves already that they know, already in their conscience and in their heart, that there's a problem. And so Jesus gives him, and you may be familiar with this story, what we call the Good Samaritan, being a good Samaritan, being a good neighbor. Jesus gives him this parable of the Good Samaritan and closes that thing off and asks him in verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus, by giving this illustration, by giving him this parable, he's put that lawyer in a position where the lawyer can only say one thing, the truth. And he said, he that showed mercy unto him. And notice what Jesus says to him. Go and do thou likewise. In other words, what had not the lawyer been doing? He'd been a lawyer. He'd been bringing people to trial. He could condemn with the best. Huh? You know what that law does? It condemns. It brings death. You know what that lawyer was doing as a lawyer? Condemning people. Showing them where they were wrong here. Oh yeah, that's what he'd been doing his whole life. That's what he lived for. One of these prosecuting attorneys, out to put everybody in jail. Jaywalked, 15 years, you know. I mean, he's gunning for him, right? And you know what Jesus tells him? How about a little mercy? And he, what he does is he's convicting this fella of his sin. That's what he's doing. Listen, the first time this fellow met Jesus, the first time you ran across Jesus, the first time anybody in the Gospels comes across Jesus Christ, you know the first thing that has to be dealt with? You know the first thing he's always going to deal with them about? Their sin. Their sin. That's why people don't like hearing about it. That's what scares them. That's why people would rather not have anybody ever hand them a gospel tract or ever hear anybody preach on the street. They run from that stuff like the plague. Why? Because they know. They know they're guilty and they don't want to face the music. They don't want to have to deal with that. And when you first meet Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen. What's the first thing this guy does? Verse 25, he's tempting him. Who was Jesus? He was God. Who's he tempting? He's tempting God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This fellow starts off as a sinner. First thing he's doing, first words out of his mouth, it's sin. He has sinned against God before he ever even gets started. And then at the same time, turning around and saying, what can I do to have eternal life? Isn't that strange? Why was he having to justify himself? Why was the Lord dealing with him about his... Why? Because he was a sinner. That's why. Notice what Jesus said. Now look back with me in Matthew. Hold your place there in Luke. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures tonight. I want you to get this from the Lord, from the Word of God, and see it plainly. Matthew chapter 5. Why did Jesus come? I mean, what? He's here. He's talking to this fellow. What did he come to do in the first place? Notice with me, please, in Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 17, notice what Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. There's some people that think that. He didn't come to destroy the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to, what? Fulfill. Listen, what Jesus Christ did, that no other man could have ever done, that no other woman could have ever done. He fulfilled the whole law. He kept every jot and every tittle. Verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till, so it will pass, but not until what? All be fulfilled. Before there could ever be an end to the law had to be kept. Did you keep it? Look with me, please, in James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Somebody had to keep the whole law, or else that means it's still in existence. Because according to Jesus Christ, until that whole law is kept, all are required to keep it. James chapter 2 and 1 verse, please, verse 10. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. You know what the problem with that lawyer was? He was guilty of all. Why? All you have to do is break one. You know what your problem was? You said, well, I did this or I didn't. No, you were guilty of all. See, the Ten Commandments are written on two tablets. And when they fell and were broken, it didn't matter if it was just one piece off of this one or one piece off of that one. When they were broken, they were broken. And the first time you sinned, you became a lawbreaker, which meant you were just as guilty as the most wicked, vile sinner that's ever walked the face of the earth. That's what man cannot understand. That's what he cannot comprehend. He desires to justify himself. Well, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or I'm not like sister so-and-so. They have this desire to justify themselves. And the Lord doesn't allow it. The Lord disallows it by what he's doing and saying here. I have this study here. I thought it was interesting. It's official. Just came out this week. Men are more likely to lie than women. Now, I know that's a shock to all of you. Men. Telling on average, 3 lies a day, a new study has found. The average man tells 3 lies a day, or a whopping 1,092 a year, as opposed to women who lie just, for women they put fib, lie just twice a day, or 728 times a year. Don't you feel good, ladies? You only lie twice a day. You know what they just said? What does that Bible say over Revelation chapter 20? All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who's that? According to this, I didn't write this. The lost person wrote this. According to this, everybody's a liar. You say, but I don't lie as much, don't matter. Once or 20 times, you broke it. Amen. The research, however, found that women were more likely to lie in certain situations, such as when they're being polled to ask how many times they lie in a day. No. I didn't say that. Such as when buying new clothes. What? What size was it? I don't know what they mean by that. As many as 39% of women felt the need to lie about their latest purchases, compared to just 26% of men. In the study, half of the women participants admitted to lying, opposed to just over a third of men. Other findings from the survey show that people are often tempted to lie to make life easier. You say, what is that? That's just a condemnation. You're a liar. Say, what are you saying? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have broken the law. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now let me ask you something. Look back there real quick with me in Luke. Notice what he said there in verse 28. He said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. All that was required is you keep the whole law, and you could have eternal life. How many of you wish you were still under the law today? That law would bring nothing but condemnation. But now, if you would, please look with me in Galatians. Let's look at a few verses in Galatians. And thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for our great salvation through our marvelous Savior. Galatians chapter 3, and look with me please in verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us, thank God, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He went there for you and I. He took the punishment, he took the curse, he took the condemnation, so we wouldn't have to take it. Verse 14. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through, no, not through the law, through what? Through faith. So look back in chapter 2 of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified, not by keeping the law, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let's all repeat that together, that last phrase. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How much flesh? no flesh, and yet you got billions on this earth trying to justify themselves by their own righteousness, by trying to keep the works of the law. And the Bible's made it very plain that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, that He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is anybody in here saved? Anybody in here have eternal life? Hey, guess what? Law's gone, man. You're saved. You're free. So now that we're saved, I guess we don't have to keep the commandments anymore, right? Right? Well, listen, we understand that keeping the commandments cannot justify us. Keeping the commandments can't get us to heaven. We're already going to heaven. We read this morning, our names are written in heaven. We're as good as there, thank God. But does that mean that we shouldn't keep the commandments? Now listen, I understand, I'm with you. I understand the Sabbath. We know that was a sign to Israel. They were to keep the Sabbath as a sign between them and God. We're good with that one. Okay. If you're in Christ, if you're saved, you're at rest in Christ. You're resting in Christ. You're keeping the Sabbath by trusting in Christ and Him alone. Amen. But what about the rest of that law? Is it okay now that we're saved and we're not under the law anymore? Is it okay now to commit murder? Is it okay now to commit adultery? Is it okay now to take the Lord's name in vain? Worship idols? I mean, we're saved by grace. We're justified by the blood of Christ. So, we don't have to fulfill the law anymore. It's okay now to commit adultery? Look with me, please, in 1 John chapter 3. Hey, Chuck, stand up and read that verse for us again. The one you gave. All right, let's hear it. Well, how about that? That's in the New Testament? Well, how about that? Look here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Is Christ in you? Hey, if Christ is in you, did he keep the commandments? Then doesn't he want to keep the commandments in you? Now listen, we understand as far as our standing in Christ, they're kept. It's done. It's a done deal. We're sealed in the ark. We're safe. We got that. But doesn't he want us now to keep the commandments? Notice what he says in chapter 5. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Is that you? You've been born of God? And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and, what? Keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. What's the love of God? That we keep his commandments. Oh, I just love the Lord. Do you? I just love Jesus. Do you really? How do you prove it? The Bible told you what to do to prove it. If you love the Lord, you know what you're going to do? You're going to keep His commandments. Listen, and His commandments are not grievous. It shouldn't be hard to do. It shouldn't grieve you to want to keep the Lord's commandments. It shouldn't bother you a bit that you can't murder, that you can't bear false witness, that you can't covet your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's wife, that you're no longer permitted to take the Lord's name in vain. or to have any of the gods before him. Is that grievous to you? It shouldn't be, if you love God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. I just love the Lord. Look back in chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If you love God, what did he say to do? How do you demonstrate it? By telling people? How do you demonstrate it? By keeping it. By keeping the commandments. Are you? If you're not, there's only one problem. And if you get that one problem fixed, you can obey the commandments. What's the problem? You don't love God. The problem has always been a love problem. That's been your problem. That's been my problem. You know why when I was a lost man, I would take the Lord's name in vain once or twice or three or four or five, six, seven, nine, ten a day and not think twice about it? Because I didn't love God. How could I love him? How many of you loved God before you were saved? You know, if I read my Bible right, it's impossible to love God until you're saved. Now listen, we understand keeping the commandments is not about bondage for a Christian. There are those that went back under bondage because what they said is, you might be saved, but you got to keep the commandments to keep it. That's bondage, right? I say no matter what happens, you're going to heaven. Amen. But that you should keep the commandments. That's not bondage. That's not Phariseeism. That's Bible. If you don't keep the commandments as a Christian, do you go to heaven? Yes. But the reason you don't keep the commandments is because you're in bondage. Because if you were truly free, you could keep them, and they wouldn't be grievous. They'd be a pleasure. Now look back with me in Luke. Let's just stay with me. Have I lost you already? Are we okay? Now stay with me. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's continue in some Bible verses here. Would it be okay if we looked at some Bible tonight? We want to get God's mind on this thing. Luke chapter 10 and verse 26. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, notice he didn't say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not bow down to any image or any likeness of anything. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Thou shalt commit no murder. Thou shalt none of that. What did he say? He answered right, Jesus said. What did he say? And he answering said, thou shalt, what did he say? Thou shalt, what's that word? You know the problem with that rich man? I mean with that lawyer, you know what his problem was? Same problem you had. You didn't know love. And how could you keep the commandments? Because the commandments are based on love. You know what was missing? Love. What did he say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love him with all your heart. With all thy soul. Love him with all your soul. And with all thy strength. Love him with all thy strength. And with all thy mind. Love him with all thy mind. And love thy neighbors, thyself. How do you keep the law? Love. That's all you have to do. Thou shalt commit no adultery. Hey. If you loved your wife, if you loved your husband, would you commit adultery on him? Would you step out on him? Look with me in Romans chapter 13. Thou shalt have no other gods. Hey, if you loved God, would you step out on him? and covetousness, which is idolatry. If you loved God, would you step out on Him? Romans chapter 13 in verse 8. Well, it's quiet in here this evening. I don't know what's going on. Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to what? Love one another. Isn't it good to be a Christian? All you got to do is love. Yeah, God wants me to have joy and love. Oh. I mean, brethren, praise God. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have joy and love. What in God mean? I mean, think about it. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Why? For he that loveth another hath, help me out, what? Fulfilled the law. I'm preaching tonight on fulfilling the law. God's desire for His children, if you're saved here tonight, God's desire for you is to fulfill the law. Not out of, oh man, if I don't fulfill the law, I'm going to burn. If I don't fulfill the law, I'm going to hell. I'm not going to be able to go to heaven if I don't. No. Not out of that. But if I don't fulfill the law, I've got a problem in my heart. Loving God. Or loving my neighbor the way I should. Amen? That's the issue. That's the issue that Jesus Christ has with this whole thing. That's the issue in the New Testament for you and I. If Christ is in you, listen, think about it. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us and gave His Son as a propitiation for our sins. Until we knew Christ, we could never know love. How could we keep the commandments? The reason we couldn't keep them is because we couldn't love. We couldn't love God the way we should. We couldn't love our neighbor the way we should because we didn't know love until we knew the Lord. And so notice what he says, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law for this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, what? Love is, what's love? The fulfilling of the law. Is that the Apostle Paul? Is that New Testament church doctrine? I believe so. We are to fulfill the law. It is God's desire for us to fulfill the law. Not trying to keep the law to get to heaven, but keeping the law because we now have a love that abides in us that we never knew, could never fathom or understand before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Notice it again. Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Notice 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is, what is love? It's of God. Then how could you love without God if love is of God? And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So you couldn't love until you knew God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's through Jesus Christ that we know love. that we can understand love, so that we can now do what we could have never done before. Fulfill the law. Look back in Exodus chapter 20. This was God's mind the whole time. This was on God's heart the whole time. This is why God gave the law, to show man his problem, yes, as far as sin, but to show him the ultimate problem. Man's problem was a love problem. Your problem's a love problem. We talked about it this morning, the fruit of the Holy Spirit with that joy. What was the first one? Love. Love, joy. That's where it starts. If you know God, if you're walking with God, then you're walking in love. That's where you learn about love. Not from Hollywood, not from the television, not from the movie theater. You learn about love from Jesus Christ. You learn about real love from your relationship with Him. You know, the first time the word love shows up in the Bible, God tells Abraham to go sacrifice his only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. First time love shows up in the Bible, it's a father's love for his son. What do you think God's trying to show us there? Is anybody here a child of God? Do you realize who God loved more than anybody? Jesus. God loved Jesus more than anybody. That's His Son. And you know what God did with His only Son, whom He loved? He offered Him for you. We hear the verse so much, we don't ever consider it. For God so loved the world that He told the world He loved them. No. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much God loved you. God's proved His love. He's proved His. Amen. Y'all still with me? Look back here in Exodus. Now, Exodus chapter 20, and here's God giving the law. First time. Exodus 20, the law is going to show up. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Is that you if you're saved? Did God save you out of this world? Did God save you from that bondage? Did God save you from Pharaoh's rule over your life? Has God set you free? Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God's jealous, isn't He? God doesn't, He doesn't want you sharing your love with someone else. He wants it. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, here it is, am a jealous God. Jealousy is the result of love. If you knew your spouse was skipping out on you, and it didn't cause great feelings of jealousy, it would be because you didn't love them. Amen. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now watch it. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that, here it is, love me, how? And what? Keep my commandments. When God's giving the commandments, why does He say you would keep them? If you loved Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. That message hasn't changed all the way through the Bible. The problem was, in the Old Testament, they couldn't love God because they couldn't know Him. You know Him. What's our excuse for not loving Him? We don't have one. Not if you're saved. You don't have an excuse for not loving Him. And if you loved Him, you wouldn't step out on Him. If you loved Him, you'd keep His commandments. I mean, think about it. if you were ever to break one of these commandments, say you did walk through the store and see something that maybe wasn't really yours, but it just kind of happened to, you know, slip into your pocket. Or you decided one month, you know, kind of things have been a little tight. Maybe if I don't write that tithe check, keep that for next month. You know what you just did? Thou shalt not steal. Now here's the thing, when you do that, you know what God's going to say to you? You come before God, you know what his things are going to be? He's not going to say, why'd you steal? That's not it. You know what he's going to say? Why don't you love me? That's the issue, isn't it? Because if you loved him, you wouldn't want to hurt him. See? If you loved your parents, how would you show it? Young people, if you loved your parents, how would you show it? What would be the commandment that you could prove your love for your parents? Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Did you all know that, young people? I love my parents. I love my mama. Oh, really? Do you honor them? You see, let us not love in word or tongue. That Bible, God told you how to show your love for your parents. By honoring them. God showed you how to show your love for your neighbor, for your spouse. By not committing adultery on them. How'd you like to have a buddy, a best friend that turned around and snuck off with your wife? It happens. He loved you? I don't think so. I don't think you'd feel that way. Would you feel loved if that happened? You see the issue? The problem, brethren, is a love problem. God wants to know why you don't love him. Has he not proved his love for you? Has he not demonstrated it over and over again? You know what I found? I found Christians that rejoice in sin. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. And then you know what they do? They turn around and they get mad at the Christians who have standards and are trying to live right. Why are you getting mad at them? They just love God more than you. What's the problem? Huh? You love God? Peter stepped out on the Lord. Peter denied him. Jesus gets around Peter and says, well, Peter, you getting right? Yeah, Lord. All right, let me ask you. I just need to know one thing. This is the whole issue, Peter. Just this one thing. Peter, do you love me? Oh, well, what about this man? What's he going to do? John, you mean the beloved? The one who loves me? That bothered Peter. Yeah, and the Lord knew it. You know what Peter knew? That guy John, writing 1 John, he knows something about loving God. And I'm mad at him because he's making me look bad because he loves God more than me. Do you know people that love God more than you? Does that bother you when somebody loves your Jesus more than you do? It bothers me. I don't want anybody to love him more than I do. Amen. You love him? Prove it. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy. Once again, a review of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Well, I just don't know about this message. Well, listen, get the CD and go back and listen to it 12 times. You'll have it down, okay? What I'm giving you is flat-out truth tonight. I have no problem with this at all. This is straight skinny from the Word of God. You're not getting around it. It's right over the plate. And if you're having a problem with it, I know what the problem is. And so do you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, look in verse 9. Verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him," and if you love Him, what are you going to do? "And keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to His face." Verse 11, "Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments," the statutes. Look at that. It's all a result of what? Love. Did Israel love God? Nope. They sure didn't. We see the results of it in Scripture. Look in chapter 11, Deuteronomy chapter 11, and verse 1. "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God." God's pretty demanding, isn't He? Listen, you get married, you take that vow. What's the expectation from the one you're marrying? What are you really looking for from them more than anything else? That's a vow. That's a commitment. To do what? To love. Amen? You know what my wife wants from me more than anything else? It's not my money. She'd be out of luck. It's not even my looks. And I know that's probably a shock. Tall, dark, and handsome. Hey, one out of three ain't bad. Amen. She wants my love. Right, wife? Right, husband? Come on. Because if you got that, everything's good. That's the issue. Just narrowed down to that one thing. That's the issue. It's a love issue. Verse 1, "Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always." Why? That's how you show Him you love Him. That's the only way you can demonstrate it. Look at verse 22, same chapter, verse 22. "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to cleave unto Him." You see, the issue is love. If you love God, you'll keep His commandments. Look in chapter 19, Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 9. "If thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God," man, every time it showed up, what's God saying? If you love Me, you keep My commandments. The issue's love. You know what Israel's problem was? They just didn't love God. That was the issue. You know what that lawyer's problem was? You know what Jesus is showing him? You got a love problem. That's why you haven't been shown mercy. How about you? You love God? And the apostate Laodicean church, brethren, listen, that thing's been turned around. That thing's been flipped around. Here's how it is now. In the apostate Laodicean church, let's accept everybody's wickedness and sin to demonstrate our love. No! You can't demonstrate a love for God. by accepting all kinds of filth. You show a love for God by wanting to keep His commandments. And if somebody has a problem with that, they have a love problem. And the Lord knows how to take care of that. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He'll come into that temple and do some cleaning. Amen. See, you know what the Lord's looking for? He's just looking to see how much love we have. He tries our faith. And He tries, listen, our love. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands when nobody's watching. You know why Jesus went to the cross? It wasn't because He loved you. Heresy. In the Laodicean church, that's heresy. Because everything's about them. I know it's controversial, but it's Bible. So you just have to deal with it. Jesus did not go to that cross because of His great love for you. Now, Christ loved the church, the bride. We understand that, a general term. But when you see about Jesus' love, you know who His love was for? It was His love for God that sent Him to the cross. He was willing to walk up that hill to allow that crown shoved in His skull, to take that beating, to put His hands while He laid down on that thing and let them drive those old big nails in His hand. And hang out there and have His blood shed. Not because He loved you, but because He loved God. You know what Jesus did? He proved His love for the Father. You know, the Bible says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Huh? Say, why? What would stop you from going to the cross? A lack of love? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. It shouldn't be grievous. If it's grievous, you know why it's grievous? Hey, if you love your wife, I mean really love your wife, man, do you have to worry about cheating on her? Of course not, because you just love her so much you'd never think of it. It would never cross your mind. If it's crossing your mind, what's the issue? We okay? You follow me? John chapter 14, Lord says, I want you to go to the cross. I want you to bear your cross daily and follow me. Oh, Lord, I love you. Okay, prove it. John 14, we'll be done. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Good memory verse. John 14. Look at verse 15. If there's been any doubt, what did Jesus say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. The Lord says, prove your love to me. Don't just tell me. Listen, I'm sure the Lord enjoys hearing it. We all enjoy hearing that. You ought to tell your spouse you love them. You ought to tell your kids you love them. You ought to tell your parents you love them. That's good. Oh, I'm too cool for that. You're too cool to love? Then you're too cool. There's nothing wrong with telling them you love them, but if that's all you're doing, that's lip service. It's good you can tell them. Can you mean it when you tell them? Can you demonstrate it? Say, how do you demonstrate it? If you love me, keep my commandments. Think back before you were saved. How many times you tried to justify yourself, just like that Lord, with religion or atheism, whatever the case. You might have tried to keep the commandments, turn over a new leaf, and you couldn't. You couldn't. But you know what God did? God so loved the world that He, the Father, gave. You know what the Father did? He demonstrated it. He didn't just say it. He proved it. The proof is in the pudding. He proved it by giving His Son for you and I. Now He asks us to prove ours. If you're here, just in case anyone's here, and you're not saved, there's only one issue. You've never yet been introduced to love. Before you leave tonight, would you let someone introduce you to true love? Let's stand for prayer. Appreciate your patience tonight. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee wisdom in all things. Let's go ahead and close in prayer.